Greetings to the saints at Providence this morning. I count it a privilege to be here and to worship the Lord with you. I enjoyed seeing you all over at Shirksville the past number of weeks, and glad that we do have the privilege to do that. I'm glad that we can also be here this morning. For a message this morning, I was given an assignment for this evening. At helping our children see God at an early age. Helping our children see God at an early age. And I know that not everyone here is parents. And some of you, your children are grown. But I believe that for many of us, this is a topic that is near and dear to our heart. And I believe that it's something that it's one of the goals for life that we want to accomplish, is to help our children see God. I believe to start, we'll begin by reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can turn with me there. This is back in the Old Testament, but I believe it has some wisdom as we meditate on this topic here this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll start reading at verse 4 through verse 9 and then drop down to verse 20. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. Drop down to verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean these testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes, and he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. And you look at the emphasis of those verses, and God comes up again and again. It is all about God. This morning I would like to ask you a little question. What has my wow? What has your wow? You know, this morning there are a lot of people gathered around watching a game because they're excited about. What are they excited about? That's a good question to ask. What are they really excited about? Point number one, we help our children see God by loving God with all our hearts, with all our hearts. I believe that's where it starts. You know, we can't give our children something that we don't have. And it's a fact that today parents will pass on their values to their children. There's young boys who love certain sports stars, who love gaming. You know, it seems like Star Wars is a big thing right now, and children are being passed on that value. Or maybe for us it's something maybe seemingly a little more innocent, like Chevy trucks or John Deere or Fenn tractors or whatever it is. You know, children grow up valuing what mom and dad pumped them up on, what they told them, now this is something to pay attention to. And this is true in a positive and a negative sense. It's not just one or the other. It could be either. You know, there are youth who love going on mission trips because mom and dad have taught them a value for souls. There's youth who will pour themselves out on behalf of the town children night to night. Why? Because mom and dad had the same interest. And the parents inspire the children to give and give. If we care about the souls of men, hopefully we can influence our children to also have the same value. Now we know that every person has a choice. Each of our children have a choice. But we want to do our part to help them to gain interest in the things of God and the things of His kingdom. 2 Timothy 2:6 says, "The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits." You know, before we can pass the goodness on to our children, we must receive and know what it's like ourselves. Children mimic their parents from a young age and pattern their habits after their parents. You know, when I was at Bible school a few weeks ago, it was interesting to look across the youth there, and I noticed a few of them that did things that were similar and their parents. In particular, the one young man, when he was thinking, he put his fingers to his chin. And just the way he stood and he pondered, I thought, you know, that's just like his dad did. His dad was a few years older than I was. And there's many children who you could see the resemblance of their parents in them. The fact is that children imitate their parents in many ways. And so I believe that we help our children see God and come to God by, first of all, loving Him with all of our hearts. You can turn with me to Psalm 127 for the next point. How do we help our children see God? Are we in this alone? Is this something that you and I can do on our own strength, or how do we do something like this? I'll just read the entire psalm. It's pretty short, Psalm 127. But notice here the next point. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Do you notice especially verses 1 and 2? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, we can pour all of our energies into our families, but except God puts His blessing on the work, it will be of nothing. We help our children see God by asking God for His wisdom and blessing. Asking God for His wisdom and blessing. You can turn with me back to Judges chapter 13. Here we have the story of Samson, Manoah and his wife. In Judges 13, the angel appeared to Manoah's wife and told her that she would have a son, but that he would have to be raised in a special way because he was called to a special mission. And I believe that this raised quite a bit of uncertainty in their minds about what this was all about. And so in Judges 13, verse 8, we have Manoah crying out to God. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." And then in verse 9, the Lord hearkened, and he sent them to them again. And down in verse 12, and Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" And the angel went on and explained to them the details of what God was asking them. But I believe that each of us this morning should be praying this prayer and asking this question. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto them? You know, every child is uniquely created by God, And God alone holds the secrets to raising our children for Him. You know, He gave us His Word as His guidebook. We can read the Bible on how to raise children. And that is right and good and very important. That's one of the first keys. But I believe also that God imparts His wisdom to us through prayer. And I believe that raising our children should send us to our knees frequently. Lord, You know this child and his needs. What can I do for him? Give me wisdom. Successful parenting is accomplished through a close partnership with God. You can turn with me to 1 Samuel for the next one. In 1 Samuel, I believe we'll actually get the next two points from Samuel. Here we have Samuel's mother, Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 27. Of course, this was after the child was grown a bit. And her testimony was in verse 27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him." We help our children see God, thirdly, by praying for them. "For this child I prayed." I believe that this is all the way through. From conception, from the moment that we know that there is a child on the way, I believe that we should pray for that child. Kneel down and ask God to bless this child that God is creating. I believe that's important, that's good. And then all the way throughout pregnancy, even before we receive the child in our arms, I believe that it's right to continue to pray that God would bless the development of that child. And then at birth again, I believe that it's right to lift them up in thanksgiving and to pray for their life, which leads us to the third one. Verse 28, "Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. Fourthly, we help our children see God by dedicating them to God. The phrase, "I have lent him to the Lord." I did want to mention one other thing with praying for them. I believe that on through the years that our children should hear us mention them in prayer audibly, praying that God would bless their development and hear their name, that we have an interest in their life and God's blessing on them. And that, I believe, is foundational to help them develop a consciousness of who they are before God and an awareness of God. Just wanted to mention that, realized I had overlooked that. Back to dedicating them to God. Every child has a never-dying soul, and I believe that we as parents should specifically dedicate that child to God. This may happen at birth, but I believe then on through life, to pray that their life could be given as a servant to Him. And I believe that we should dream of our children and prepare them for doing bigger things for God than just farming or just something that we have in our heart, maybe by way of labor, but that they could go and be servants in the kingdom of God, missionaries, evangelists, whatever God wants them to do, that is the greatest thing that they can do for God. And hopefully we will not keep them from serving God. You know, I had to think about youth who wanted to serve God, but their parents stood in the way and said, "You can't go on VS. No, you need to have a big bank account. You have to do this or do that." Hopefully we'll be pushing them forward, not holding them back. Every child should know that his life's purpose is to grow up to be a servant of the King. Fifthly, I believe that we help our children see God by representing God to them, God or the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so much of who we are either represents God to them or something less. As parents, our character can present God to them. One of the concepts that comes out in Paul's teaching in the New Testament, I'll just read to you two verses, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I believe what Paul is teaching us is that the carnal man must die, and then the new life is because of Christ. And what he gives as we follow him and pattern our character after who he was and who he is today. And that is what our children can feel and see. And through who we are, they find God, or else they wonder, who is God? I know some of y'all know Steve Wade, and I work with Steve. And Steve said, I grew up wondering, who is God? And I didn't know because nobody represented God to me. And I believe that that bears testimony that a child's view of God is shaped by his parents' life and character. Before they see God in a personal way, they see God in us. I believe today that God puts himself on display through the life of godly parents. We must allow God to mold us and to make us into his image. Thinking more of taking on the character of God and then presenting that, and what children feel, what children should feel through godly parents. Sixthly, I believe that we help our children see God by loving them, by loving them. John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave, right? And I believe that if we so love, we also give. Think of parental investments. You know, if from an infant, a child is raised in an environment of love. You know, when he cries, he gets his needs met. He gets attention. He is hugged and cuddled and talked to. You know, that's, I believe, the touch of God in his life. Mothers, you have the opportunity to be that touch, the first touch of God in a child's life. Or in contrast, a child, when he cries, he realizes that I'm neglected. Nobody really cares for me. I need to fend for myself. Who is the touch of God in his life? I believe this morning that the most important thing we can do for our children is to love them with unconditional love. Unconditional love. Today there are many children who are weeping just to be loved by my parents, unfortunately. And then they grow up wondering, does God really love me? And if you faced rejection from your parents, then you know the pain that I'm talking about. Many of us take that for granted, that our parents have loved us since we were young and still love us. And we're thankful for that. Unfortunately, we just, like I said, take it for granted. But I believe this morning, our God is a God of relationships, a God of love and acceptance. And there's many ways that you can show your love to your children. Seventhly, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. One of the New Testament verses that show us things that we should do for our children. And I believe that, you know, I never really thought of it specifically in this way, how that as we do the things that the Bible teaches us to do, we are showing them God. Ephesians 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here we see specifically two words, nurture and admonition. nurture is tutorage or education or training. In other words, teaching. I thought it was interesting that this word is only translated nurture once in the Bible. Other places, it's translated instruction. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Same word as nurture. Instruction in righteousness. Also in Hebrews 12, it's translated chastening. Verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Then we have this word, admonition. Admonition is calling attention to, and it also might give the idea of a mild rebuke or warning. We help our children see God, seventhly, by teaching them. Our children come to us as a blank slate, ignorant. Who is to teach them? Ephesians 6 tells us, ye fathers. Fathers are called to teach their children. It doesn't say school teachers. It doesn't say mothers or preachers. It says ye fathers. Fathers, we are responsible for the spiritual teaching and development of our children. Do we know what our children are learning? You know, children have many teachers, many people who will try to teach them something. Do we know who are teaching, who is teaching our children? Do we know what they're learning? I'm not against the tutoring that goes on in our Christian day schools. I'm thankful for that. But that's merely an education, and that's not enough. They also need a more specific spiritual education. I'm also thankful for Sunday school. That's a tremendous blessing. But I believe that in our homes, we must take the time to teach our children. A time of family worship where we teach them the things that we believe that God has stated as moral law. How to live a righteous life. How to live honestly. How to relate to others. About love and forgiveness and so many, many more things. I believe that we also need to be careful to listen to our children talk, to hear what are they listening to by way of other voices in their life. And listen to that and be careful to correct the other voices that may have spoken in their lives. Teaching. I believe that parents can teach, as the parents teach their children, they can show to them the moral law of God. And that's one of the aspects that they learn about God. We already mentioned it, but we help our children see God by correcting them. Correcting them, that was brought up in the word admonition. Admonition, correcting. Or even, there's verses that talk more strongly about that. Proverbs 13, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. God is a God of moral absolutes, and if we cross the line of righteousness and sin, there are consequences. And I believe that God has called us as parents to do that, to establish that for our children. Hebrews 12, verse 5, the end of the verse, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Is that too strong? Do you realize what that just told us? That verse just told us that it is a sin. Or maybe I should make this as my own statement. It is a sin if we don't discipline our children. Is that too strong to say that? It is a sin if we don't discipline our children. Do you realize what verse 8 just told us? It says that if we are not chastised, then we are bastards, not sons. I believe that if we have children, then we are obligated to discipline them. And if we don't discipline our children, if we don't stop them when they do wrong and give them correction, then we're not doing our part as a parent, and we don't really love them the way we should. You know, we hear it said, oh, I really love my child, I can't spank them. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you love your children, you'll correct them. I believe that it is a sin if we neglect to discipline our children. Chastisement, why do we chastise our children? I believe for several reasons. For one, to reinforce the teaching, but also to help them to enjoy a clear conscience. You know, if they cross the line, then there's guilt, and they need that guilt to be cleared. And so as we give them correction, they can receive freedom from a guilty conscience. And we thank God for teaching us to discipline our children, and I believe that's something that we can do for them to help them to see God. Discipline is love. Parents help stamp the moral law of God into the heart of their children through teaching and discipline. What should a child know? I came across a chart, and I'll just cover it briefly. What should a child know at age 4? What do my children know at age 4? It's interesting to ask a child who God is, and I ask some of my children that, and it doesn't seem like they have a lot to say. It is hard to know how to describe God. But I believe that a child at even a young age should know that there is a God, should know who God is. First of all, that God exists, that God loves me. They should know about Jesus and that Jesus loves me and that God wants to take care of me. They should know about what God has done, that God has created everything in the world around us. And more than that, God has created me as an individual. They should know that God gave us the Bible. They should know the story of God sending his son Jesus and how Jesus died for our sins. I believe also that they should know at a young age that God loves them and wants a relationship with them. And that's God's desire. We should teach them about prayer. Prayer is talking to God. And that even teach them to pray. That they should pray to God regularly. I believe also one of the opportunities to teach them about God is through the stories, the Bible stories. They should also know God's desire for them, that God wants them to be all they can be for him. God wants me to be good, kind, loving, just like him. God wants me to see and think good things. How they live, I can do what God wants me to do. God wants me to go to church. God wants me to obey my parents. God wants me to learn to share. And I believe that they can learn all these things at a very young age. Yes, their understanding is very limited, but I believe that we can sow the seed and it can start to grow at even a young age. Well, moving on, how else can we show God to them? We could ask the question, where does God display himself? We talked about how that God puts himself in display in a parent's life and character, but where else? I believe, seventhly, we help our children see God by reading the Bible together. I believe that God reveals himself in his word. We already talked about a time of family worship. And family worship can have many different formats. I believe that over the years, as children are young, maybe start by reading the Bible stories in a story format, and then move on to reading the Bible, the word, opening the word and reading it to them. Read things that they can understand. Read things that are interesting to them. I believe that we need to open it and then expound on it. There's so much they can learn from the stories of the Bible. The practical lessons that we can learn, like the story of Jonah. There's so much we can learn about God, even from the story of Jonah. You know, his omniscience. He knew where Jonah was. There was no hiding. His omnipotence to provide the whale and to care for him, but also his love and his discipline. All of those things are brought out in the simple story of Jonah, and yet it's so profound. We also learn about man and his tendency to stray. And those are all things that we can teach just out of a simple little Bible story. That's an opportunity to teach our children things about God and about life. As they mature, we can take them on to Proverbs. And it was interesting to have your children read Proverbs. My dad did that for us growing up. Had us read Proverbs and try to paraphrase that. And I didn't really like that when I was young, but I do enjoy hearing my children do that. As they think about what God's trying to say and put it in their own words and maybe even into their own lives. I believe that this morning that teaching is most effective if it is responsive. What I mean by that is that, you know, we can have them sit down and lecture them. But I believe that as you teach and then they respond in answering questions or in talking about what they were being taught, that we can help them become involved and interested in spiritual things, and also that we can hear what they're learning. I believe that effective teaching is interactive. I guess that's why I enjoy Sunday school so much, is that it can be interactive and a discussion about spiritual things. Where else does God display himself? I believe that we help our children see God by turning the eyes of our children to God's glory in creation. I think I might have gotten mixed up in my numbering here, but anyway, we help our children see God by turning the eyes of our children to God's glory in creation. God's glory is manifested in creation all around us. You know, that sunset seemed like we've been having quite a few beautiful sunsets. Is that just a sunset? No, that's the creativity of an amazing God. You know, we should live in the awe of the creativity of God. It's not just a sunset or a sunrise. That's our God. You know, the stars at night, so vast in number. Or the snow the other week. How many truckloads of snow were out there? You know, when you think of 2 feet of snow and covering across several states. How many truckloads of snow did he dump in the last storm? What was the weight of that? What was the volume of that? You know, if we talk about those things with our children, it'll help them to have an awareness of who God is and his greatness and his power. The wonder of life, you know, that little acorn contains the life of a giant, mighty oak. You know, all of that giant tree began with a little seed. And there's truly the wonder of a seed. We should help our children marvel at the mysteries of God. There are the very interesting laws of science. You know, why is it that some days the smoke goes straight up and other times it comes out the chimney and goes straight along the ground? Why is that? Who created it to be that way? We help our children see God by turning the eyes of our children to God's glory in creation. Next, I'd like to think of, well, you can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Here in Proverbs, it tells us in verse 20, reading from verse 20, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gate of the city, she uttereth her words. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge." Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. One of the things that we see here is that wisdom crieth, in the events of life, if you're watching and looking, you can observe things and learn from them. In Micah 6, verse 9, it says, the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed to it. In verse 24, it says, I have stretched out my hand, and I believe that could be wisdom, but I believe that it's also God. In Micah 6, it more directly said, the Lord's voice crieth unto the city. And if the man of wisdom, if he's watching, he will notice. I believe this morning that God orders the events of our lives. And I believe that we help our children see God by observing his moving in the events of life around us. There are things that God is doing today if we're watching. There are people this morning that are dying. Why? Because they chose a life of sin. There are many diseases that if you do not honor God's word, you open yourself up. And there are people this morning that are dying of so many different diseases we could talk about because they weren't willing to listen. And I believe that it's right for us to point our children to that and say, you know what? This man is dying. He has lung cancer and he's coughing because he smoked. This man is dying because he drank. He had a wreck. This person had a wreck, and there's so many things that carnal men are doing and they're reaping the reward. And God is still holding his promises true. You can't sin and get by. God is presently judging the wicked. God is not only judging the wicked, but he's also rewarding the faithful. There are many other people who are living happy, fulfilled lives because they're pursuing it in God. And we can see that all around us as well. We could talk about simple things of a disappointment. You know, when a picnic doesn't work out or things like that, we can help them to see the bright side. You know, God is still here and he's still moving. And I believe that God didn't set the world in motion and that he's standing back. But no, I believe that he's involved in our lives from day to day. And I believe we can point our children to the events of life to see God. I believe, in conclusion, that we can help our children see God in eternity future. We talked a little bit about judgment today, but I believe that we need to talk about eternity with our children. There's a sense where that's not around us yet. We're not in eternity yet. We're not in eternity future. We're in this part called time. But through the eye of faith, we can talk to them about the eternal punishment for the wicked, about hell. And we can help them to see that that is the judgment of God for the wicked. And I believe that they will be able to see the righteousness of God as they understand God's judgment that is coming. And that will help them to have a holy fear of God. Someone once told me that the judgment of all men will be an awesome day. And I had to think about that a little bit because I don't think of it that way. I think of it as a terrible day. But they said, you know, it'll be a day of awe and glory for God to see the man who chose to go directly against God in his life and to show how that will end in utter failure. And it will be a day of glory for God. And I just never thought of it that way. And there's a sense where that's true. But there's a much brighter glory that I believe that we also need to point our children to. And that is the reward of the faithful. Of what God has in store in eternity for those who are faithful. Talk about the glories of heaven to our children. And how that God desires for each of us to be with him there in eternity future. This is our God. I guess the question for us, each of us as parents, is who do my children perceive that God is from my life and from my teaching? And my prayer is that God would bless each of you in this assembly who are parents or someday, Lord willing, will be parents, and that God would give you the strength and the wisdom to fulfill that calling. May we be wise stewards and lead our children in pursuit of our awesome and holy God.